Hi, everybody. Welcome to Queers and Soaps. I'm Tommy, and today I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Angel.
Hello.
We are back once again covering Guiding Light. This week, we are only covering three episodes because we suspect it was March Madness or OJ because it was 1995. So I roll the credits and we'll get right into it. So as far as their opening credits, I think I found a trick of knowing which one it's going to be. Because they've tricked me quite a few times, because they'll do like the lighthouse and then they'll start to scroll. Mm-hmm. I've noticed if I don't see the people in the letters, that means it's the short one. yeah, because I can't tell with the music. I know you're good at that.
Yeah, I can tell with the music. I can just, there's a clip. It sounds like an eclipse, and then it's weird.
So I guess the smallest thing that we can get out of the way is Matt's one other thing that he loves outside of his relationship is apparently martial arts. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa's watching him do what he loves. And it becomes this weird martial arts ballet mashup montage thing. And I was like, what am I watching? It was like this weird like martial arts battle slash dance routine.
Because honestly, I thought they were going to make love or have sex. It was like, when they both did it, I was like...
I feel like mostly she, like he would do some like kicks and twirls and stuff, like martial arts moves. Mm-hmm. And then she would just like start spinning like a ballerina and land in like a martial arts like pose. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't think about that, but I could have seen that turning into a love scene somehow.
Yeah,
like he would like punch and kick and then he would take her and kind of twirl her. And I was like, all right, I get it. You're in love.
Yeah, you're in love. Which is interesting because, like, when we were the As World Starts episode's coming up soon, they had Casey and Lila, which started out the same way. Casey is a younger man, and Lila is an older woman.
Oh, okay.
And they had the same obstacles and stuff like that. So,
did they have the same like everybody was against it at first or shocked? And then they kind of
we're early into it, so it is like mostly their family being like, Margo isn't against it because she's like, it's like mom's been our mom for years, like come on. Mm-hmm. Like let her have her fun. And Craig is like, no, he's younger than me, like stop this.
Yeah, I would have a problem with that. I think if they were younger than me, close in age, I'd be like, eh. Yeah,
because he's like Casey's in college, like a resident in the hospital, so.
Oh.
All right. Being like his early to mid-20s. Whereas Matt seems to be like maybe late 20s, early 30s. I don't know. I feel like Bridget's younger than Matt.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't really see much of her. We saw her more towards the end of the week. But we'll get to that later. We didn't see Josh and Annie in these three episodes. No. Which I thought we might see Annie because we were at the hospital a few times, but we didn't. I guess we talk about
Buzz. We can talk about Buzz because that was a small thing, a very small thing.
Yeah, so the episode was so pixelated, I couldn't even tell that was Buzz at first. I assumed it was Buzz because it looked like it was the back of a restaurant. And he's like looking at the personal ads, and Lucy catches him, right? Because he's reading them out loud. He had a line though. I can't remember what it was. It was like overweight, balding man over 40 or something like that, like saying what he is. He was like, "Is there anything for an overweight, balding man over 40?" Like with. Lucy kind of picks fun at him because I feel like she thinks people made fun of her for doing it. Mm-hmm. That was fun. That was a good scene. Nadine. Oh, and Nadine. That's another small thing.
And Nadine, yeah.
Nadine's out on a date with the guy whose name I can never remember.
Oh, man. And it was at the tip of my memory, too. But
I always want to call him Cutter, but I know it's not Cutter.
Not Cutter, no. Colt, no. Oh, my gosh. Because I think it begins with a C, too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Were they on a double date, or did they just kind of happen upon this other couple, and they just decided to, like...
I don't know. I don't even know where this couple came from, I think.
I didn't even know if this couple was, like, actual characters or just, like, day players. But they were all over each other, almost to the point of grossing Nadine and her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I like Nadine. She's, like, comic relief.
Harold is his name? I don't know.
I'll have to look it up before next time, or really. Yeah, I did take one note because I always do this kind of like off the cuff, but I did take one note because I wanted to remember this detail. Remember last time I was like, Alan Michael's been in the position for like 2 months, and now his father wants it back. They specifically said he's been in the position for 3 weeks.
Oh wow!
It's 2 months our time, but it's only been 3 weeks. So that's even worse.
Worse.
I'm like, can you give the guy a chance to get settled before you take it back from him? So I really love Alexandra.
Me too.
Because she's not what I thought she would be. And I don't know if this is just Marge Ducey's interpretation of the character. She's very comical, and she kind of naturally just like blends in with people lower class than her, and I never thought that was the character. I thought she'd be like the snooty, like socialite who doesn't interact with anybody below her, but she's so like enamored with Fletcher, obsessed with Fletcher, one would say. So she pulls up in the limo. It's Ben. And I really like this scene. She was like really sweet to him. She tells him like she missed him, even though she has ulterior motives for this conversation. But I believe that she missed him because like he used to live at her house, against her father's will. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's implied that he was like held captive there. But she like offers for him to like use the pool in the summertime, and he could bring his friends over. And I'm just like, oh, that's really nice. That's like not how I would imagine this character to be. But also, because my brain does these things, I had this memory that Marge Ducey actually was a temp recast for Vivian Alamein on Days.
She was.
Yes. So I knew it wasn't long. I just remember seeing her, and it was from like the end of December to like maybe the first week of January. So end of December 92. To like first week of January 93. It was only 5 episodes. So then my brain did this. I couldn't remember if it said due to illness, but I know that Santa Barbara ended in January of 93. I wonder, because I don't know, if Louise Sorrell went back to Santa Barbara for the ending, and that's why she couldn't be on Days for those 5 episodes.
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
I don't know if that's the final thing or not. But I figured, I was like, oh.
I don't remember if she was on there. I don't think maybe she was.
I know she, like, went back and forth.
Dancing under the arch. Yeah, I was trying to remember who was dancing under the arch. Did I see her there? I don't know.
There's a, what? What's dancing under what arch?
So, like, in the final scene of Santa Barbara, there's a wedding between BJ and Warren Lockridge.
Okay.
And they did a toast, and then they dance, and then there's like an arch, like there's an arch, you know, like because like in the opening credits of Santa Barbara.
Oh yeah.
It's there are arches in Santa Barbara, so they basically dance under an arch, like they kind of spin, not under an arch, but like next to an arch. Oh, and they were spinning and stuff like that. And I'm trying to remember who were all the people there. I know Eileen Davidson was there because she was a recast for Kelly. I know Janice Page, Theo Penglass.
I just found out that Theo was on there, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, he was on there, yeah.
Because I knew GH but and Days, but I was like, I didn't think he did any other daytime shows.
Yeah, because this is when they got like every they tried to like make it like.
Yeah, I know that Kim Zimmer went there, which Kim shocked Zimmer me was also. On
there, yeah. That's why she left Guiding Light, I think, or one of the reasons why she left Guiding Light.
Right. Yeah, that's just what my brain did. The whole Mars you say took me to days, then made me think about Santa Barbara. It was this whole rabbit hole. I spiraled. Right, back to Guiding Light. But she finds out from Ben, Alexandra finds out from Ben, that there was a woman that came to see his father when they were fishing, ice fishing, and so she wants all the details. And his friend tries to get him to like come off, like run off, and he's like, she's like, no, wait. And she gets confirmation that it was Holly, and that she didn't stay the night. He like that her his father like made her leave, so she's happy about that.
Yeah.
I guess we could talk about this too, because it was another scene that made me think, oh, Alexandra's not who like how I thought she was. So she's good friends with Lillian, like they're best friends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. And I thought Lillian was a doctor, but she feel like that she's a nurse.
I feel like I knew that, but it didn't really come up with me until today.
Yeah. So Lillian had breast cancer at some point.
Mm-hmm. During the affair with Ed. Between Ed and Lillian, where Maureen died.
Okay.
Yeah, so during that storyline.
So she's been putting off a checkup to make sure everything's still okay, like a mammogram, like an annual mammogram. And I didn't get this, because like I feel like if you were a survivor, you'd want to get checked to make sure that you're okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I could understand the fear of like finding out that you have it again, but like, the longer you wait, the more it's going to progress.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I've never been in that position. I don't know how I would react to something like that. But I can understand both sides, I guess. But like, I don't know. She doesn't want to have the checkup. She keeps putting it off. They even are like, we can do it in 10 minutes. And she's like, no, I don't have time.
There's a thing at the hospital I have to do. Well, you're in the hospital. You can go get the checkup. And it was Margaret Sedgwick that said it. That was like her doctor. So who I think is actually an advisor for the show.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I think she might be. I think the doctor that was talking to Lillian, I think she's a medical advisor for the show.
Oh, okay.
It's been there for years. I could be wrong, though.
So we picked up with Blake and Dinah kind of having a little showdown over the $900 phone bill.
Yep.
And it basically culminates with Dinah being like, you need to get out of here. Like, you're not welcome here. Like, pack your shit and get out. And Dinah kind of pushes back with like, we'll see what my father has to say about this. Mm-hmm. And when Ross comes home and she tells her tells him what happened, Dinah was right. He's like worried about her. He doesn't know where she is. Mm-hmm. He basically tells Blake she's gonna reverse her decision and ask her to stay. Mm-hmm. So Blake ends up calling Roger to vent. Because she said something like, I need to like talk to somebody that still thinks of me as their number one girl or something like that. And she thanks him for letting her vent. And when they hang up, we pull away and we see that Dinah's sitting at the table with him. And I'm like, oh, she got some of
her. Yep. And that's like her opening, that's like her closing credit shot later on the closing credits, like where she smiles with Roger.
I have mixed emotions about this because I don't want them together romantically, but I don't hate them being in each other's circle. I like how they play off of each other. Yeah. So
just the messiness of it, of Dinah and Roger being together. Just think about that. Like,
yeah. I guess they stayed out all night because she didn't come home. And
yeah, Ross, they went to Chicago.
Oh, okay. So Ross is like
concerned. Yeah, because she was in the limo.
Ross is concerned, and then we had the limo scene, and Roger parked like two blocks away. And Diana says he was a perfect gentleman all night, and she's kind of like coming on to him, and she's like, oh, you have like an eyelash, and she makes him make a wish, and while he's like making his wish, she kisses him. She initiates the first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know if I like this. So I don't know what she's trying to do. I don't know if she's trying to get under Blake's skin by doing this, or if she sees a rich older man and she sees this as an opportunity to get money out of him.
I think a combination of both.
Okay.
So, I also wonder if we don't know everything about the trust, and that if, okay, not saying that this will happen, but if she were to get married, mm-hmm. would she get the trust?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if she...
Which feels like it might be something, because I feel like we've kind of hinted around a marriage. Because mm-hmm. you did say that her future husband was in the room at the party. Yeah. So she comes home, and Ross is like, Blake has something she wants to say to you. And she's just like... She's like, fine, I want you to stay, unpack your things. You're welcome here as long as you want. And Diana, so Ross goes away, he goes to work, and Blake is like, oh, I think I'm gonna stay home today. And then he's like, I don't know about these two being alone together. And Diana's like, no, go ahead, it's fine. And Diana like ingenuinely offers to pay for the $900 phone bill. I'm like, with what money? $900? Your father only gave you $500. So essentially you'd be paying her with your own money, with her own money. Like, so she calls her Chrissy, I think, which is what Roger calls her.
Yeah, Roger, because remember, she was on the phone. So mm-hmm. she was on the phone with Roger when Diana was there. So I think he did call her Chrissy.
Okay, so is Blake not her real first name?
No, her real name and her full name is Christina Blake Thorpe Marler.
Oh, okay.
So she goes by her middle name. She gotcha. Lived by her middle name when she returned to town. So that way people won't know that it was that, you know, this is Christina. And then, of course, you know, you get the scene where like Holly's like, Christina, Chrissy.
Kind of like what Daze did with Teresa, with Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie Teresa.
Yeah, Jeannie Teresa.
I like, well, they don't do it, they haven't done it, at least not to my knowledge, but back around 2013-ish, I liked how like her family members would still call her Jeannie and she'd get all mad mm-hmm. when they'd do that. So Diana calls Blake Chrissy to kind of hint at her that she was with her father. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they were trying to get at with that.
Uh-huh.
So the paper was a mess. Fletcher quit.
Before we get to the paper. There's like, I'm not sure if we're gonna loop this in with Alan Michael and them, but so Roger had like this day nightmare, I guess, with like mm-hmm. Ross and the country club guy and Alan mm-hmm. like all in his face talking all kinds of noise. And then the guy at the country club said, we're gonna revoke your membership for the country club. He said, no, it went back to its reality.
Like that was because, the worst thing they could have
all that stuff, like all that stuff that they're talking, like, oh, Roger's not good, you know, he's this, he's that, he's like less than. And then the one thing that gets him out of there is revoking his membership.
Priorities.
Priorities. I mean, they should revoke his. I mean, look, there is clips of Roger always causing a scene at the country club.
Is there?
At least two occasions that I know where he caused a scene at the country club, or where a scene is caused at the country club because of him. So,
well, the newspaper or the journalism awards, was that at the country club?
Yes.
So but he was ready to cause a scene. He was ready to blow up the affair.
That's three. There was like one with like with Holly. That involved Holly. One that involved Alexandra, and then there was the awards. Those journalism awards.
Yeah, that's like his, I guess that's like his favorite spot to like cause a scene.
Usually drunk too.
So yeah, so the paper was just a mess all over the place. Fletcher quit last time we watched, I think, because when we see him this week, he's home, apparently trying to write a novel, but he has writer's block. Yeah. And Nick is there, and he's just like, it's funny how as a reporter, like, it's just so loud and busy. He's like, but you kind of get used to it. He's like, and now that you don't have like that noise going around in the newsroom, he's like, you have like writer's block. Because you miss it. He's like, I'm fine. He's like, I'm just taking a break. I don't miss it. I'm fine. The paper's like crazy. Everybody wants to know where Fletcher is. Holly says that he quit. And so now everybody's flipping out. It was a very odd bonding scene between Tangie and Holly where they were laughing. And I was like, you guys hate each other, but this is weird. Even
yeah,
I
right.
You know, this is weird. because this guy like had some like editorial notes for it, and she's like, if you want to have notes, she's like, become an editor and deal with like reporters like you. And that was kind of like their bonding moment, Angie and Holly.
Yeah.
Mick comes and he quits, but not really.
Yeah,
I think it's just a ploy to get Fletcher to come back. Quits. Yeah,
a ploy to get Fletcher back.
But then Holly also quits. Like, everybody's quitting, and like it's just a mess.
Yeah, when Nick quit, Tangie was really upset. When Nick quitted, Tangie was really upset about that.
Yeah. Alan Michael comes in and says he's going to play editor. I'm like, what is happening? I was like, at first I was like, why would Alan Michael do that? I didn't know that he had like a stake or he part owned
it. Yeah, he's a young part owner.
Apparently he used to work there. He's like, so he's like, I picked up a few things. He's like, I know what I could, you know, basically fake it till I make it. So they almost have like a journalism like intervention. They all go to Fletcher's and like trying like being like, I quit. And basically, and he's like, what do you mean you quit? Like, he's like, who's gonna run the paper if nobody's there? And Holly's basically like, you love it more than I do. Like, I could find something else. Like, this is your true passion. And like brings up the writer's block, and he's like, Nick Radji like told you like what's going on, and she's like, no, and he's like, yes, he did. Ben and Bill are there, and I was laughing at this scene because Holly was asking Ben if his father was really happy, and Bill was like, don't answer that, that's a loaded question. He's like, he basically was like, don't get involved in grown folks' business. Because she asked him multiple questions. He's like, don't do it. Don't answer it. I'm telling you right now, it's a mess. He's like, you're poking a beehive right now. I really like that. Because I couldn't tell if that was Bill, because we haven't seen Bill in a little bit. And I was like, is that the same actor? I wasn't really sure. Plus, you know, pixelation.
Yeah.
But Fletcher ends up going back to the paper. Holly has quit. So I don't know what she's going to do. Has Holly had other careers besides the paper?
Not radio station, the TV. I think she worked at the TV station too.
With Roger?
I remember it being after post Roger for some reason.
Oh, okay.
So I remember like she was at the, they mentioned, what is it, WSPR, I think is what it's called.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Where Jillian then work, yeah.
So Ed and Eve come over to Blake and Ross's house for dinner.
Well, I think. Can I interject one minute? So there was a part with Alan Michael, and it kind of weaves into like the Alan Michael Nang of the Horse and Lucy.
Okay.
He's basically sitting down with the people at the newspaper. Basically, he's like, and this is not what he says. This is just me making a joke, and I got this from the Star Confidential. He's like, look at here, no fucking. So like the crew, and he's like, you said this three times. Because I guess he knows that Fletcher and Holly were a thing at his office. At their office, basically Alan Michael's office, he owns the place, so
okay.
This causes a lot of stress, a lot of stuff, blah, 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 blah. But we'll get to that later because it involves Lucy and Alan Michael.
I feel like Holly said something about, I'm not gonna let a 15 minutes of pleasure or whatever it was, like, ruin your career or something like that. A 15-minute mistake. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about, like, the Spaulding, Alan Michael, Brett, Lucy thing separate, but,
Brett is gay!
I really don't know why you're neighing, and like I can't even fathom to like start guessing why.
it's from Young Frankenstein. Like whenever he mentions one character's name, he's a horrible character. Like there's a neighing of a horse.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. So Ed and Eve are at Blake and Ross's for dinner. The men say that they're gonna cook. They end up making tuna melts. This seems to be like a little bit of awkwardness between Eve and Blake. Why? Were they not friends at one point?
I don't know. Because I barely know the character of Eve.
Okay.
So
maybe that's why. Maybe they just don't know each other, so it's a little awkward. Because I felt like Eve was a little bit like, so how's motherhood? Like with Diana being like the stepdaughter. And then we see after dinner, the guys are cleaning up, and Eve's not really feeling well, and she barely ate her dinner. And I'm like, okay, well, whenever a woman's sick on a soap opera, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she says she suspects maybe she might be pregnant, but don't say anything to Ed. But then, at the hospital, Eve has a pregnancy test, and she gets, I think, caught by Lillian with the pregnancy test. And they're talking, yeah. And then Bridget hears. So Ed and Eve had decided to elope.
Yeah.
Which I think makes her happy because she might be pregnant. So she's like, okay, at least I'll be married, and then I can tell them I'm pregnant. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if they do get married, because I don't remember if they do get married or not. Remember Eve's off the show shortly in this. I remember Eve is off the show this year, maybe next year.
So Bridget's a Bower?
Bridget's not a Bower. Remember, Ed was married to Maureen, who was a Reardon. So they're in-laws.
Oh, okay. Because she had a comment where she was like, you're eloping with my uncle. And I was like, you're a Bower? Like,
what? So yeah, so remember they're uncle-in-law, so it'll be an in-law. So I guess because they're so close,
she still looks at him as her uncle.
Yeah, she just looks at him as an uncle. So
okay, yeah, I was confused. I was like, I have to ask her out because I do not know this family tree.
Yeah, because it'll be like if my aunt got married to an uncle.
Well, it's like Brady Undies. He calls Marlene a mom. That's not his biological mother, but she raised him. So yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. I had friend, like my family was really close to a family that lived across the street, and we just the kids, we called each other cousins. So like in school, I'd be like, oh, that's my cousin. Like we weren't blood related.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that just threw me because I was like, wait, she's a Bower? How's that?
Yeah, she's not really a Bower. She's a Reardon, and Maureen's a Reardon. That's how, yeah, so.
So this was the scene that was kind of mixed up with, like, Alexandra talking to Lillian about making sure she has her, like, mastectomy or her checkup. But Bridget kind of huddles with Alexandra and Lillian, I guess, because she's planning like this reception where everybody's to be at the elopement.
It's a bridal shower. I have my headphones in. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe she was just, they were eloping and she was secretly planning a wedding, like to surprise them.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's a bridal shower. So. I think I heard bridal shower.
I didn't hear anything. I thought it was just like a silent, like, we don't know the plan, we're just gonna see it unfold. But again, that was another scene, because I'm like, I don't imagine Alexandra talking with someone like Bridget, and I'm just like, oh. Mm-hmm. I was like, Alexandra's kind of down to earth. I like her.
I like her too. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how Beverly McKenzie played her.
So I feel like it's the same. It's when Joan Collins takes over, they kind of make her a little bit more
snooty.
And then when Marcia Say came back, they immediately went brought her back down there. Cause she's with Alan, like her brother's Alan. So like they're like kind of down to earth. So
yeah. Oh, Alan is less so. I feel like Alan could be Alan a little pretentious.
Alan's pretentious, definitely.
I guess we could talk about Brett now. So not much really happened. They were just kind of, he was just kind of flirty with Lucy, and Alan Michael keeps like walking in on these moments, and he's not happy. He's super jealous.
First of all, I want to talk about the fact that they were like, okay, I got these boxes I need to put into the supply closet. Let's go in there and put the boxes in the supply closet. Put the boxes in the supply closet or make out. They should have at least closed the door some more.
Right, because Al Michael sees that right away, immediately.
He sees that, doors wide open there, blah, 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 and everything like that. So, like,
come on. And he, like, scolds them, and Brett goes running into his office, and basically is like, if I have to choose between, like, love and like the business, I'm gonna pick the business. And Lucy like hears that, but meanwhile he had literally said totally the opposite like 5 seconds before to her in the closet.
But then also and this is like a hint of things to come, Brett said that Lucy initiated it, which I don't think that's the way it happened. Not the way it happened. He was basically like throwing Lucy under the bus just for his needs. So let's put a pin in that right now. Let's put a pin in that, in his behavior.
And then Alan Michael makes Lucy take a note, and he's basically writing like a no fraternization, or he's like, and if there's any sexual harassment, come to management, pretty much. And he's like, okay, type that up. And at first he says you, I mean, they. So she's like, all right. I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's three episodes. I gotta go back to that fantasy. I really love that fantasy that Roger had. That was up close. I had to rewind it a few times.
Oh, again, it was like they did something. There was like a... Roger is basically still investigating everything about Fletcher. Because he's still, even though he's pretending to be low-key, he's like trying to mess with them somehow. Find something that he could use. I think that's how it ended, because he was like meeting with somebody.
Yeah, that's how it ended, because the guy had a folder with Roger, like for Roger. And they said, like, oh, like, and this really happened. His Ben's grandmother, maternal grandmother, fought for custody of Ben when his mom died.
Yeah, I think I remember you mentioning that briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was it. Did I forget anything else you wanted to mention?
Nope, there wasn't. Yeah, I mean, like the following characters were here: Lady Frank, recast. Yeah,
I was waiting because I kind of want to get to know this recast a little bit better for Eleni, because I was so jarred, even though I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
There's so not before we wrap this up. I haven't seen a lot of Another World. I really haven't been able to get into it. But for the podcast, we watched the primetime special, I think, that aired in 92.
Was it Desire? I forgot something Desire.
So I don't remember. Maybe that may have been it.
Yeah, I forgot the title of it, yeah.
And I really liked that. So I was like, oh, maybe I like 1992 Another World. I don't know.
But Summer Desire, something like that.
There is a character who had really curly hair, like the original actress that played Eleni. I can never say her name correctly. That's why I'm not even attempting to.
Eleni Kanakridis.
Yes. And I always thought that was her. And I always
thought that might have been Allie. It's not her. That might have been Allie from Another World. No, I'm sorry. Allie from
She was paired with Ricky Paul Golden.
Jenna. She was Jenna? Ricky Paul Golden, yep.
Yeah. Which I was shocked to see Ricky Paul Golden on there. Because from the soap mags and like when I got into soap opera, I always just associated him with Guiding Light as Gus. So I just thought he was always on Guiding Light. I didn't know he like was on other things.
Yeah, he started out in Another World.
I didn't know that.
He was a family member of the he was related to, was he related to Frankie? Yes. Dean Frame. But I forgot how to relate it. They're like cousins or something like that. I don't know.
He was like a musician on Another World, I think.
Yeah, he was a musician. Yep.
Is that how they wrote him off? He like went on tour or something?
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
Typical.
But hey, look, if you're a Michael Damian.
Also, side note, just found out because Brian Gaskell's been tweeting a lot lately, reminiscing about his past work. So he went on Wikipedia. Didn't know he was on Bold and the Beautiful.
Oscar Maroni,
like right after Poor Charles.
Right after Poor Charles. Yeah, he didn't last that long.
And then I remembered because this was a few years ago that I found this out. I was watching when the actor that played Luke during the gay storyline, like that played him to the end pretty much, came on. Because it was Kim Zimmer's son that played Luke originally. So I wanted to see the recast. Brian Gaskell was on As the World Turns. Didn't know that either.
I forgot that. Wow.
He was mad on As the World Turns. He was a villain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, good. Because.
Yeah.
Since the Bay, he could only play villains in my... He could only play villains or complicated characters.
I saw you tweet that.
Because he was that good on the Bay. He was a villain.
Was his character?
Too.
I haven't watched him on YNR. Excuse me. Was he a villain on YNR?
He was a complicated character that teams up with Jordan. Okay. Do I need to? Are you going to watch YNR?
No.
Are you going to watch this episode?
No.
Oh, so yeah. So basically, Jordan pushes him in front of an oncoming car, and that's the end of him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Who shared it? Alan Locker shared it. He shared this final scene.
Huh. So I guess Jordan's like a Sheila character now, huh?
She is, yeah, basically. Just all right. Pictures of her dressed up like a guy.
I've seen the pictures, yeah.
Yeah, then she served vodka to Nikki.
Oh my God.
She like had a waiter serve vodka to Nikki. So and then Brian Gaskell's also in Guiding Light too. He played a recast Dylan. But that's not down that's down the line.
I did find that out yesterday when I was on his Wikipedia. Yeah. I was like, wow, he really made the rounds. And then last night he tweeted he was in Jersey City. I was like, oh, is he East Coast? Like, is he based on the East Coast? Like, I don't know if he was just visiting Jersey City or if he lives over here. Like, But all right, we're going on tangents. I'll wrap this up. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Guiding Light. We'll be back next week with another week's worth of episodes. As always, you can find us on all the socials at Queers and Soaps. And until next time, have a great day. Bye.
Bye.